This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. You're listening to Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. It's just gone past 8:36 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 18th of March. According to the de facto law minister, Datuk Sri Taqudin Hassan, those who have been issued the 10,000 compound can now get discounts if they settle their fine early. So those who pay their fines within 7 days will be given a 50% discount. Those who settle payments between the 8th and the 14th day will get a 25% off. He also specified that there are three categories of offences under the Act.
Right, so the first category refers to offences which carry a high risk of virus transmission and has a major impact on the community. The second covers offences which have a high risk of transmission but does not have a huge impact on the community, while the third refers to offences which have a low risk of transmission and no direct impact on the individual. For example, not wearing a mask or not checking in at a premise with the MySejahtera application, whereby the quantum of the fines for first-time offenders have been fixed at RM1,500.
So for some insights into this issue, we have this lawyer, Andrew Koo. Now, good morning, Andrew. Now, what are your thoughts on the latest announcements by the de facto law minister in with regards to the discounts and now the categorization of offences for the summonses?
To answer your question, I think we start from the premise that people are being given letters, what we call compounds, offered to compound for the commission of an offence. And the penalty that is being written in is 10,000 ringgit. In my view, that could well be unconstitutional because it displays a total lack of proportionality to the offence. It doesn't seem at all clear if you are a first-time offender or you're a repeated offender, if what you have done is minor compared to something else, you still get slapped with the same 10,000 ringgit compound. So one of the fundamental principles of law is that the punishment, in this case a fine, must be proportionate to the commission of the offence. So when you have this blanket amount of 10,000, which is not balanced in relation to any particular offence, I think that breaches that fundamental principle and could well be challenged for it being unconstitutional. So I welcome the fact that the authorities are now trying to refine this a little bit more by saying that if it's a not wearing mask offence or if it's a non-registration offence, the maximum penalty or maximum fine would be certain amounts. That way, it addresses the proportionality issue. And it then goes to confirm the fact that concerns expressed by myself and others that this disproportionality or this lack of proportionality is unconstitutional has been heard by the authorities and has been taken into account.
But in regards to the constitutionality of this all, the move to raise the fine was made through an emergency ordinance. How does that factor into what you just said?
Well, that's an interesting point because, as we know, under the emergency ordinance, something can be instituted or promulgated which can be contrary to the constitution. But this, to me, is a question of, and I think the discussion was in relation to the standard operating procedure. When it comes to standard operating procedures, I think that is not necessarily governed by the emergency ordinance because the SOP is not set out in the emergency ordinance. So I think you can still challenge the practice or the directions that have been given because they stand alone in terms of whether or not it is legal or not. But I think that issue may well be moot or theoretical now if there have been new guidelines or new SOPs issued to try and compartmentalize the different violations or offences and then offering lower compounds in relation to each category of offences.
Now, going back to the process of how these summonses are issued. Now, from what we're aware, the police are the ones that will issue the amount. But do they actually have any discretion with regards to that?
Well, given that this is based on instructions upcoming from the Inspector General of Police, I don't think that an individual police officer in issuing these compounds has a discretion. So he basically just has to follow the directions that he has been given. And I think that, again, also causes some problems, because where is the discretion in terms of that proportionality? So you've taken it out of the hands of the police and you're saying that, oh, well, you have to go to the district health office and they will decide whether to reduce it or not, or now with the new announcement, you know, what kind of discounting there should be. There shouldn't just be a discount for timeliness of payment. So like if you pay, you know, within X number of days, you get a 50% discount, Y number of days, you get 25% discount. But also there has to be that exercise of discretion based on proportionality, based on the nature of the offense and whether or not it's a first-time offense, it's a repeated offense.
So if the final discretion lies with the district health officer to determine the final amount to be appealed, what are the concerns that you have about this?
This is the problem with the exercise of discretion. On what basis do you exercise the discretion? What are the guidelines that are being given to these health officials in determining whether or not there ought to be mitigation or ought to be some form of flexibility? Is it depending on the whims and fancies of the officer, whether he or she's had a good day, a bad day, whether they're feeling generous or not? How do we determine? So this unpredictability to me is problematic and worrying.
Now, Andrew, one could argue that being a year into this pandemic, there really is no excuse for offenders to be ignorant of the stipulated SOPs. So in the first place, you shouldn't be arguing about the amount of the fine.
Well, I think there are two ways to look at this. So the first way is, yes, I agree. It's been around for a year. So why can't you follow? What's so problematic about it? I am not saying don't fine people. But I think what you do need is that element of proportionality. And then the second point to look at, if you listen to or you read some of the stories that have been told. Now, I have no way of verifying the story. So I'm just going to take it at face value that what was said on social media is correct. Right. So people are saying that, oh, you know, we took our masks off to eat and then we got raided and we got accused of not wearing a mask during a meal. Is that logical? Is that something that's common sense? I mean, do you expect that after every mouthful of food, you put back your mask? And what are the specific circumstances? So if it's a question then of say, well, I saw you without a mask. I don't care what process or what stage of your meal you didn't have your mask. I just give you a compound. And then you've got any issues, you go and talk to the district health officer. To me, that again is oppressive. That is, you're basically instrumentalizing the compound process to be, for want of a better word, a weapon, a tool to create injustice. And that's certainly not what we want. We want to encourage people to comply with the law. We want there to be sufficient deterrence so that you don't break the law.
So speaking of deterrence then, are heavy fines an effective form of deterrence in practice?
It depends on the recipient, right? If you are a daily rated wage earner, is that going to teach them a lesson? Yes, it's going to be an extremely painful lesson to learn. The question is whether or not the pain of the punishment far exceeds the offense that was committed. But if you are a multi-millionaire and you get given a 10,000 ringgit compound, you might think, well, it's 10,000, you know, I'm a multi-millionaire, you know, it's a drop in the ocean for me. So it all depends. So the people who can't afford it the most are the ones who will feel the punishment the greatest.
Thank you for your time. That was lawyer Andrew Koo giving us his views on the compounds that are currently being issued to those who violate the SOPs. And I think his point is true. It's not that, you know, don't fine these people. They have broken the law. But I guess it's the question of proportionality, right, which he's questioning.
And that leads to the question of injustice.
Yeah.
Right.
And also the whole process whereby if you wanted to mitigate, I mean, you wanted a reduction in the compound amount, you actually have to go to the health officials.
That's a lengthy process, and he coined it as relatively oppressive.
Yeah. And it's what is the criteria in which you get a discount, right? All these questions need to be asked, and we don't have the answers at this current moment. But up next, we'll be diving into the Permacasa stimulus plan. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.